night of total terror.
Welcome.
We're back.
Night of Living Dum Dums.
How are you doing again, sir?
Good. Good. Doing awesome. How are you?
This is the best day of my life. I don't know.
Ever?
Yeah. That's, you know, that. Maybe you get this at your job, but I work in a building with, you know, 150 adults. And what the most generic thing I get every morning is, how are you doing today? And I started to come up with these weird answers like, oh, it's like, oh, this is the best day of my life, or this is the most incredulous day ever, you know, because I don't know what other, you know, I mean, you could just respond with, I'm good, and then, you know, just a way to kind of mess with people, I guess. I don't know.
Do they ever get like, they're like, what?
Oh, yeah, and then there's the giggle, but then they don't know what to say, so then it becomes awkward, which is even doubly funny for me. Okay, this is awkward. Let's walk away and never talk about this again until the next time you say hi. That's what they get for saying hello. They'll never make that mistake again.
Don't you ever say hello again.
Yes. Me. Look at the floor when you walk by me and when you feel like being, you know, nice at work. I would rather people ask, what are you doing? You know, how are you doing? I'm fine. You know, maybe that at least it might lend itself to a conversation.
It's kind of funny because the difference between what are you doing and how are you doing are two completely different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you doing? It's like, hey, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Like, what are you doing? It's like, what? What are you doing?
What are you up to right now?
Yeah. It's more like you're in trouble. Like, why are you doing what you're doing right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them, when people ask, how are you doing, they just expect you to say fine. Because whenever someone says, oh, man. You know it's going to be a terrible story you don't want to hear anyway? Never mind. Just say fine so we can move on with our lives, you know? But anyway.
Wait, so we're recording a little later. What was going on?
Oh, tonight I had our second comedy troupe meeting, but today was the play day. And the group of people I'm with,
can you describe what is a play day?
Oh, where they set up a whole bunch of improv games, and we just improv and get used to being in each other's company. Okay. But the group I'm a part of, like 8 of the 10 people are already in an improv group, and they're seasoned improv people. Like that's what they do. They did it in high school. They did it in college. They've been doing it for 15 years. And I've never done a moment of improv other than like the cheeky conversations we have with our buddies while we're having a couple beers. But that's that's very different from jumping into a character, into a scene. So so today was dedicated to doing these different role-playing games that help you practice your improv brain, with the idea that we're going to write some scenes from some of this stuff that's going to pop up. And nothing really came up, but I never knew how hard improv is until like I came out of that, like my head is just spinning, and I feel like I'm kind of hungover from this whole experience of how much quick thinking you have to do and putting yourself into a person. Like, this is your person, this is your scene, this is your character, go. And like, oh, no thinking, just do. And it's
And wasn't that the mantra of improv is don't think?
But that's the hard. I think part of it, it's like with improv, it's kind of like working out. You know what I mean? You can tell who's ripped in the group and who has their chops. And then there's the flabby fat people who, not real fat, but like improv fat, have no idea what they're doing and just stumble through it and try to crack some jokes. It's hard to not. I mean, you're right. It's not think. It's just do. You just start talking. You don't ask questions. You just keep making statements and you make replies. The They call it the yes and approach. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so you don't ever ask questions. You ever you don't even say no to what the other person says. It's always yes and you're building the story together. The problem is I can say yes as good as anybody. It's the and part that so we do these things and then I go sit down and my heart slows down a little bit and I'm like kind of out of that moment and it's like, oh man, I just thought of 15 funnier things I could have said other than yeah, well, you're ugly, you know. Not that bad, but it was along the lines of that level of not funny. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, I mean, that's the whole fun of it, though.
It was. Have you ever done anything like that? Where it's, I mean.
Well, I mean, I did some improv in high school.
Yeah.
And then I did it for a little while in college.
Oh, yeah?
Too. Yeah, for a little bit. Like, maybe through my freshman year. We had, like, a small, like, I was, like, in a play, and then we, like, had, like, a improv troupe from that. But it didn't really go that far.
Really?
A couple practices. I think we did, like, one performance or something like that. It was pretty, it was fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I would do it more.
Right.
I mean, I guess my whole thing is I work better in a group than I do it, like, solo. That's why I don't do any, you know, I couldn't do any stand-up. On my own, I don't think I could.
Really,
at least because I work better off of people.
Oh yeah. That's funny because I feel almost the opposite. I like sitting and thinking, and my thoughts are what come up with my stand-up material, my jokes is when I'm mowing the lawn and doing some mindless thing. I'm just completely internalized, and that's so today's risk taking was. I feel good. I feel like it's in no way, shape, or form going to hurt the other aspects of like my stand up at all. But wow, it put me
in. I think it's going to diversify.
Agreed. But it just putting yourself in. If you feel like you're starting over, you're such a place of discomfort. You're with total strangers, and though they're not doing it because it's not part of improv, but you feel like you're being judged. You feel like they're looking at you and judging what you're saying. It's like, ah, oh, that guy's not funny in that. What's he doing? Which then makes your sphincter tighten just a little bit more. but you know, I think some good things came out of it. But we're gonna have one performance in November, and the next practice we're gonna. What was I don't want to say it's ironic, but out of this performance today, no skits were written. So it was 2 hours of doing this stuff. Not one thing got done. I mean, I agree that the team building part is important. People need to get to know each other. But it's like, I have like 15 things I'm ready to throw to the table that people can take home with them and process. And I feel like even if we had 10 minutes to throw things on the table that people can pick up pieces and take it home with them for a week, it's not going to hurt to have it in the back of your mind and thinking about like last week when we got together, someone brought up this idea like, I want to write a skit about the NSA is calling Charter because their phone isn't working or something weird like that where the NSA is calling the phone company because their phone isn't working or something like that.
Okay.
And I had like a million different funny thoughts during the week of like, oh, how we could write this and some funny one-liners and plays on words. And then we never even came back to it this week. And it's like, oh, man. To me, that was I don't think I write differently than a lot of people. I write differently, I think, than the people in this group, and that's been a hard start. But it's still a really good, interesting challenge. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like going to be difficult because, like you said last week, that they're an established group essentially already, right?
Right.
Like they all know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so their comfort level is, I mean, there are no borders, you know. If they're in a scene together, they will sit on each other's faces in a heartbeat, you know, for any time. But which is funny, though, I wanted to ask you this. I was kind of reflecting on this experience when I was driving home, and I was thinking about all the skits and things that people were making up. And everything people said, and there were some very funny moments, but nothing was very smart. And I'm not saying that in this condescending way. I'm saying that every joke that was made that got a laugh was either like a visual joke of like someone was acting overly exaggerating being gay, or someone was being the stereotyped Chinese restaurant food owner, you know?
Okay.
So it's like...
It's very like surface level jokes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was... If you thought that this was scripted, a lot of it you'd think, oh, this... you know, like, whose line is it anyway? I think part of what people thought was so funny about it is they know that they're making this up on the spot and what's going on. But if you listen to what they're saying in the joke, and there's just not a lot of substance to a lot of the jokes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of thinking, which because, you know, they haven't been thought about or you're just flying off of what other people are saying. But which I thought was interesting. Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, there's like the Dimitri Martin comedy that I think is extremely smart. I don't think you get a lot smarter than like a Dimitri Martin to me. I don't know. That's just me. And then there's the Three Stooges. You know what I mean? But who are on very different levels of comedy.
That's a different level though too. Yeah.
Right.
That's a comedy more of like timing and work. That's more of a group timing where they're working off of each other. And I mean, I wouldn't say that one is better than the other.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I guess I'm not maybe explaining that right.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I could see the wheels turning. I don't really know how to describe it. That's how I wanted to bring it up. Cause it felt like I was laughing at things that I didn't laugh a lot, but I had some good giggles at moments that were, some things were just really racist, you know, or really sexist, or in a way like superficial jokes, you know.
I think you're saying something different, though. Maybe I guess I don't know what the word is for it, but yeah, maybe the jokes just aren't that appropriate. I don't know.
Yeah, that I think a lot of the jokes they made, I purposely don't make in like my stand up because I try not to go there. I do it and then let the audience know that, hey, I made that racist joke because, not because it's racist, I made the joke because you've decided that's racist, I guess. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily, anyway, that's not a good example. But what I was thinking about was like, everything that I saw today, though it was all like impromptu, done, every joke that was said has already been said before. Does that make better sense?
Though
it was an original scene, new people, new setup and everything, there were no jokes that have never been said a million times before. You know what I mean?
It wasn't very original, essentially.
Right. And it was just practice and stuff, but it was, I don't know. I hope the writing will get different, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that'll probably just come with time, though, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's a new group.
Right.
I mean, even though these people have like worked together, have they all worked together, or is it like?
Well, I think they all have a common person, and this person who's putting it together, is part of, I guess, LaCrosse's. If there is a theater scene here, he's kind of one of the guys who does a lot of the work. And because it's such a small town, my guess is that if you have a theater scene, it's run by one group of people. And I think this is that group of people. I don't really know. But they all know each other either directly because they work with each other and are friends, or indirectly because they know each other really closely because they're part of the same very tiny, small scene that's in LaCrosse. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm making a lot of assumptions, but... Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so what's new with your life, man?
What was new? There was something I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember what it was, and I didn't write it down because I'm terrible at writing things down.
Should I start listing things, and then we'll play the jog memory game? Like,
oh, you know what? Yes, I do remember what it was. I have my fantasy football draft this week.
Hey!
Welcome to the sport of nerds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I did it last year. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done fantasy football
before? I have a fantasy football story from last year, but I'll let you tell yours first. Go for it.
I'm not, you know me, I'm not much of a sports guy. Right. I'm like a mildly sports guy.
You have a very healthy attachment to sports is what I like to think.
Yeah. I'm a sports enthusiast.
There you go. I guess
maybe it might be the right term for it.
You know what's going on, but you're not going to break any blood vessels in your face.
Yeah. I'm just like, I watch and I get together and I cheer, you know, good sporting.
Yay. Social team. Sports team.
Yeah, good bases ball. Good baskets ball. Because it is bases ball.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's a John Hodgman joke.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
he did that on Ragnarok.
Did he? I think he did. He does it on his book, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think I haven't watched all of Ragnarok yet.
Oh, okay. So you have your draft this week, then?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your number one?
Wednesday.
Who's your number one pick, Mr.
Raskway?
Coach.
Coach Raskway.
Tell me you're going to draft a unicorn. It is fantasy.
I'm probably going to draft a building, you know, get my drafting board and like an architecture. You know.
There you go. Boom.
I'm going to draft a beer.
Oh, that was mine.
I'm going to probably draft a... I'm going to get behind another car and use its speed to
save on gas mileage. Perfect.
Yeah, save on gas mileage.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. That's rounds 1 through 3, man.
Yeah, there we go.
Dude.
I got the best team ever.
I hope it's not a pay-in league, man.
No. It's not. Yeah. No, it's some college buddies.
Okay.
We play for fun.
Cool.
Probably Adrian Peterson, though.
All right.
Will probably be.
I've heard that's the number. Like, you have to get the best running back early on because there's not a lot of them. So you want to get a good running back right away. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
But there's no shortage of really good quarterbacks, and they're always iffy sometimes anyways. But
mm-hmm. I had Doug Martin last season, too,
yeah.
When he was a rookie, and that was pretty good.
Who's Doug Martin?
He plays for the Buccaneers.
Okay.
I want to say. But he was a rookie last year, and so I just kind of picked him up because it was I didn't know what I was doing last year. I was like, oh, all right, here we go. Hmm. And I picked him up, and he was like, every game was like 50 points for him.
Nice.
And so now he's like the number two guy behind Adrian Peterson.
Do you guys do the online draft, or do you get together and do the board? And
we do the online one because it's some of my friends that live in Minnesota, and then like my other friend lives up north, and so it would be hard to get together to do it.
Tell me you guys still somehow do a smack board, you know, where you like tease each other when you're gonna play each other.
There's it's like a message board in it, so we'll type our some of us were on Skype last year as we were doing it.
Okay. No smack talking.
Yeah, we smack talk. Oh, of course we smack talk.
Good.
That's this is my group of friends that like we all just kind of make fun of each other all the time.
Nice.
Yeah,
gotta have that group.
Like, did you ever meet Metalhead Mike?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Was he at your wedding?
No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't at the wedding.
All right.
Then I'm trying to think if he's, like, maybe you've been around or he's around. I don't know. Anyways.
Well.
Yeah.
For the podcast, should I pretend like I know him and have a very big reaction? Like he's, if he ever listens to this, he's going to feel shitty because I didn't remember his name. So ask me again.
Oh, that guy.
Ask me.
Do you know Metalhead Mike?
Metalhead Mike? Oh, yeah, my God. Dude.
Remember that time we did that thing?
And
then he fell.
Yeah.
And then, he stood up again.
Like,
oh, yeah. And then you're like, oh, man, better wear a ski mask next time. And we're like, oh, that's so funny.
That's so Metalhead Mike. God. That guy.
Ironically, that's the name of his Nickelodeon show that he's got coming out.
What?
That's so Metalhead Mike.
Jeez. Thanks. It's lonely on fucking Naive Island here. Jesus Christ. Wow. At one point, I'm like, I'm glad we went back to that. That turned funny. Now I feel like a fucking idiot. All right. Well, speaking of being a fucking idiot, my fantasy football league, I do it with a bunch of dudes at school who are all coaches in our district, like the varsity football coach, the varsity basketball coach, and baseball. And none of whom I particularly like, mm-hmm. but they're nice. They're good guys. And we have some in common, and they need a 12th guy. Okay. And so last year, I can't make it to the draft because I think I just didn't want to go. I just wanted to play with my kids instead of go. And I said, and I told a guy who's in the league, who's ever the highest pick of a position, just draft that person, set my team for me. And they did that. They just, whoever was on the number one on the draft board, they just threw on my team. And so I set up my team, and each week I didn't really follow. I hardly knew if I won or lost. It was like a $25 buy-in. I just, you know, and I give $25. End of the season, I find out I'm in the championship. And I fucking won. So $300.
You're not even switching out players or anything like that?
Well, that's all I did was I go in each week. I'd see what the points were last week, and I'd switch. I didn't make any trades. I didn't drop anyone. I had three guys who were injured on my team that I just put on the bench because I didn't have the energy to drop them and add somebody, some free agent. You're benched, you know. I'm not even going to click on the little tab that tells me how long you're out. You're just not playing this week. And I ended up winning the league. And I got like $300, you know. And they hate me now for it. I don't think that – it's not like a hate, but it's like this. They won't let me ever forget it. You know what I mean? Like,
did they know that you weren't really trying or –
You know, after the first couple weeks, I started kind of saying it, but then I felt like, oh, don't do that, because then they're not going to ask you to come back and do it, and you do it, and I, you know, and I like those guys. I didn't want them to feel like, yeah, I'm better than this league, I don't care. So I kind of said it a couple times, and then I stopped, and I just kind of played it cool, and I think that kind of helped, but after I won it, I was so shocked. I openly said, I wasn't even following, you know. And then it turned into like, oh, there's Peterson's coaching strategy. He just lets his players play. Just get out there. I'm not going to do any coaching. And it was – so I won my fantasy football league last year. And I'm thinking about – have you ever watched the show The League?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what my team name is for my league?
The Sheba?
It's the Eskimo Brothers.
Eskimo. I like that. Nice.
All of my members of my team have had sex with the same girl.
Nice.
That's my story.
Good. Oh no.
Something fell.
Was it your wife?
Nope.
Was it a broomstick?
Maybe. Also known as my wife. Wife number two.
Ha! Boom.
Yeah.
Hey. It's good to shove that handle somewhere. So anyway, yeah, I've been into the league a lot lately, man. It's a great show. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
But
I'm a Jason Mantzoukas fan.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He's great. I've been into him, and I always butcher his last name. John LaJoy. Taco, you know?
Yeah, Taco.
He does musical comedy. Have you ever heard of his stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've heard like one or two of his songs.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculously over-the-top misogynistic crap on purpose, and he nails it, you know? But...
Well, then he ended up doing that in the show too, right? Like he's done a couple of songs on the show.
Oh yeah, yeah,
so, yeah.
I think he did one every episode for like the first 15 episodes. He did either like some mini song thing, or ended the episode with a full, like the
yeah. What was the one where like there's like the old people like dancing? Is that the Vinegar Strokes one?
That might be the Vinegar. I can't remember. The pilot episode though, that song I remember where he did the happy birthday song at the birthday party, and he gets really descriptive about to the guy's daughter about your parent, basically saying, yeah, you're here because your parents had sex 6 years ago and 9 months, right. Excuse me, you know, and no one really stops them. They just kind of let him go through, but I don't know. I think it's a brilliant show. I love how they take fantasy football to the extreme and joke about the people who do that in a really tasteful but kind of a shove it up your ass kind of way. I'm not sure if that message is being heard. I think sometimes I think fantasy football owners who are that intense probably just use it as like the holy grail of, yeah, that show's so awesome because that's how our league is. It's like,
yeah. Well, that was like a known thing when like Archie Bunker, All in the Family, came out. It was made as like a joke against racist people. Like mm-hmm. Archie Bunker was written as this really racist person to make fun of racist people,
mm-hmm.
and that was the whole intent of it, is that you'd have this like racist person with like, you know, a daughter that's like a hippie and stuff like that from the 70s, making fun of that, like pointing out all the like bad, you know, like bad stuff about racism, and people started agreeing with Archie Bunker.
Oh Jesus!
And yeah, it was like, oh yeah, that Archie Bunker, he's a good guy, like he, you mm-hmm. know. Like the stuff he says is real, like whatever. And it's like, whoa, that's, it kind of backfired.
Well, I've heard like Anthony Jeselnik did an interview where he talked about Anthony Jeselnik is as offensive as they get, and I think he does. But like he says things that are funny in light of itself. Anyway, one of his jokes was like, oh, I can't remember. The joke was something like, don't you hate it, guys, when you're sucking on a nice big cock, and on the other end of it is a faggot, you know? It was like, ah, ha, ha, you know. And then the joke is, you know, where is that joke? But then he said he's had people come up to him after the show, instead of like, ha ha, that joke was so funny, a misdirection. It's been the them fucking faggots type, you know, people, and he's like, oh, come on, man.
Really? That's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand like how people can miss the point of a joke like that though. Like
I've heard of like Bo Burnham did an interview talking about how he can tell when he makes a joke like that. I think that was a Bo Burnham joke, by the way. But when he makes a joke like that, he can tell when people in the audience, the way that people audience laugh, that they're laughing at the wrong thing. Like they're laughing mm-hmm. because they're racist or because they're bigots, and he can just kind of mm-hmm. tell. I don't know how you can tell that laughter, but yeah. I don't know how they can either.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, speaking of racism, Ben Affleck is the new Batman. Segways are awkward.
Good segue. Yeah, let me get the back of my
vulva. You the back of your vulva?
The back of my vulva? Yeah, no.
Let's get to the
my Prius. I was gonna say, get back my Prius and get my Segway out.
Prius. No, that's all right. Prius is a tiny little car, right? Is that the cover up?
Yeah.
Is that because you're self-conscious about your monster cock?
I know, it is kind of hard. You know, like sometimes it's like, where am I going to put this thing? Like, I can't wear short shorts.
You could put it, like, just park it in your urethra.
Yeah. Sometimes when I go to the bathroom, like it dips in and I get like it wet, and like I gotta find a towel to clean off with. It's hard, man.
Yeah, but you get massive gas mileage.
Well,
anyways, Batfleck.
Oh yeah, Batfleck. Yeah,
yeah.
I can't stand people talking about Ben Affleck being Batman. Like, I'm just gonna say that right now.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm just getting, like, people are just like up in like. You would think like
you think they got Andy like Dick to play him the way they blew up. Yeah,
exactly. Like is it really that big of a deal? Like,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to remember because I actually remember talking to somebody about this when it happened, but when Heath Ledger got announced as the Joker,
mm-hmm.
was this? I mean, like that dude was like, other than being in some teen movies, he was a gay cowboy. That's about it. And right. This guy was going to be the Joker. And, like, I remember, like, that wasn't... maybe it was a big deal. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, Michael Keaton. Like,
Michael Keaton would be the good example I was thinking of, too.
Yeah. Maybe it just wasn't that well documented because the internet wasn't around really then.
True.
But, I mean, I thought that would be way worse. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's... I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. Like, that's basically what I'm saying.
I think Affleck's had enough... He's had some down moments, but he's had some really good moments, and I think
especially lately.
Yeah,
lately he's had some really good moments. Yeah.
I don't know.
I did find out. I heard today that he's actually going to be co-writing the movie too, which I think is even better.
Right.
I think that's actually more important than him playing Batman. Is that he's actually helping write it?
Right.
Yeah, because like David Goyer is writing it, and he's good with other people. But if he writes by himself, he's awful. Like he's written some of the worst movies.
Well,
but
some people feel like that. I agree, though. I think people just need to relax and wait. But you're right. The internet pretty much blew up with Affleck. Oh, this is going to be terrible. And it's like, whoa. He's had some good success.
Well, he was terrible in Daredevil. And I'm like, well, okay, that might not have been his fault, first of all.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either. And secondly, there was another person that was in two superhero movies, too. Chris Evans was the Human Torch in Fantastic Four, terrible movie. And then he was in Captain America, and good movie.
Right.
Like, so I disagree with people saying, like, oh, he's in Daredevil. That's, he's going to be bad in this, too.
Agreed.
It's like, no. Not necessarily. I think I'm more nervous about Zack Snyder being the director of the movie than anything.
Yeah. Well, you need to now see the first Superman. You do.
I know.
Then we'll have that discussion.
Yeah.
And I'll rub my Superman poop right in your face. it's so cool. It's pretty good. It's not terrible, but it's not... You know, it might be a good setup for the second one. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But... So, favorite Batman of all time, Mitchell?
Ooh.
Well, should I list them for you?
No, I will say mine because it's probably not even on your list.
Okay, say one that's not on my list then.
Give me your list.
I have the short list, very short list. Okay. And I didn't do the animated voices.
Oh, okay.
That's where you're going. I'm reading that little mind of yours.
Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Yeah. For the adults who watch Batman, sorry, number one, I'm a dick. Now, at number one, the famous Adam West.
Okay.
Adam Wee. Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, okay. George Clooney, Christian Bale. That's the short list. And then there's, I don't know, like, those are from the movies, I guess.
Okay.
Are there others I missed? Were there other movies?
No.
I don't think so.
There was a television show from like the 40s maybe, but I
don't know.
Knows. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Who's your favorite?
I would probably go with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, attaboy. Okay, maybe I should ask it differently. Maybe who's your favorite Bruce Wayne and who's your favorite Batman? Because they are different to me.
Oh, that is a difference.
Let's start with the Batman. Dude in the suit, voice, best voice. Maybe that's part of
that. I'd actually put as Michael Keaton.
I would too. Nice work.
Yeah. Because I mean, I don't think his Bruce Wayne is the best. Because he kind of plays him off as just like a regular Joe,
right?
Kind of guy, right? You know?
You don't get the feeling that he's a spoiled, rich kid, whose parent, you know what I mean, who's suffering from the trauma of his parents' death. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which then leads you to maybe it's the obvious answer. Who's the best Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Who's the best Bruce to you?
I kind of like Val Kilmer, actually.
Yeah. Are you saying that? Are you just saying that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been forever since I've seen Batman Forever.
Right.
I barely remember it, but I thought I remembered, really? Like... Yeah. But I think it's overshadowed by Batman and Robin as being like this terror. Like,
it gets people tied into there, right?
You get tied into that, but I don't think it's as bad as Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin's is awful. It's just awful.
It's unwatchable. I love when Bane, I was excited because I remember leading into it, I was like, Bane is such a badass. And then they've made Bane just this idiot, mindless fucking bomb. He just sets a bomb which down.
Is weird because like Bane is actually, like in the comics, Bane is actually like really smart.
Yeah.
Like he, you know, that's the whole thing about him. He's, like, he's really strong, but he's also more intellectually smart than Batman.
Agreed. Yeah. So anyway, I'm kind of shocked you didn't go with Christian Bale. I thought Christian Bale, especially in the first one, Batman Begins. Oh my God.
Maybe I would like him as a Bruce Wayne. I don't like him as Batman at all.
His fucking,
I think he's a terrible Batman.
His voice,
I think he,
yeah, the voice he does, just it's so like, why didn't you almost get a feeling like the first time he busted out that voice, the "Where's the other guy?" You know, that voice that the directors kind of looked at each other like, "Do we say something? I don't want to say something to you. I don't really want, maybe we should just let it go." Like, I can't believe someone wasn't thinking while they're shooting this, like, really? Is this guy for real? Why is he talking that way? You know, it doesn't take that much to mask your voice, you know?
Maybe now that I think about it, I would put Christian Bale as a good Bruce Wayne.
Good. I kind of...
What's yours? What are you?
I liked, I almost have a separate list because, like, I liked Adam West for the novelty of the comic book feel you got from that, from the old TV show.
Yeah. Adam West is such a different thing, though.
You almost don't even put him on the list in a way.
Yeah, you don't put him on the list, but it's his own thing. You know, like, I mean, I still like it.
It feels like a kid's show, though. It really feels just, I gotta be. I didn't like the Val Kilmer movie one. That was the one with that was Two-Face
and Riddler.
I've got a soft spot for Jim Carrey though. I thought Jim Carrey was really good in that. I gotta be honest. Yeah. I don't know. I thought he was perfect for that role, but I'd probably sound like an idiot, but I don't know. It had moments that it wasn't bad, but yeah.
But like I said, though, it's been forever since I've watched it, and I think it gets lumped together with Batman and Robin.
Well, it's because they use the same Alfred for all four of them, so it's hard not to.
But I think it's, because it's both Joel Schumacher that directed both of those, so I think people think of like this kind of candy, like colorful Batman movies for both of them, which I think Batman Forever is still kind of dark. Still,
right?
Like it has. It's almost like this kind of bridge between Batman Forever. Batman Returns.
That's it. Yeah.
Batman Returns and Batman and Robin's like this kind of bridge in between those two.
Right.
Of them. Which Batman Returns is awesome.
I like that one a lot too. Danny DeVito, I thought was just brilliant. I remember Jason Robertson a couple years ago was. Just Chester Copper Pot for Halloween.
Oh, is he?
Oh, this is my favorite Halloween costume ever, yeah. But, well, okay. So we're talking about people casting, and we've pretty much been in agreement that let's give Ben, give him a chance. Who gives a shit, right?
Yeah, it's a wait. I'm putting on a wait and see. I'm cautiously curious.
Right.
Is what I, kind of my official stance on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bennett, what's going to be interesting though is I think he is going to shoulder a lot of the blame if this goes well, and shoulder the success if it does, or shoulder the blame if it goes poorly, shoulder the success if it goes well. You know, like I think by taking on this role, he is now the fall guy in a way, potentially. Yeah. But what was interesting?
I do want to listen to Kevin Smith talk about this though.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be hilarious.
I bet.
I'm putting down money. I want to put down a money on how many times he cries in the episode of Smodcast where he talks about Ben Affleck being Batman.
Really?
Because he's going to cry. Do you listen to Smodcast?
I haven't. No.
Oh my God! He did it's actually a two part, and his episodes usually go for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It was a two part episode of his review of The Dark Knight Rises, and he cried about 10 times in the middle of it.
wait, he cries. Because he's laughing so hard?
No, he just starts crying because he gets so emotional about it. He loves Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, and he'll just start crying. He's like, I'm tearing up here.
Wow. Yeah. He is an emotional dude.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He did. He put a tweet out when the whole Ben Affleck thing got announced, and he's like Ben Affleck's Batman. That means I've seen Batman naked.
But on the internet, obviously, I was kind of sucked into some of the just discussions, because a lot of people on Facebook were posting about it too, and Twitter and everything. And I was just curious to see, and most of it was negative is what I gathered. But before they made the announcement, I was curious to see like what people considered the short list. And I can't remember off the top of my head any of the actors. It doesn't matter anymore. There's a million of them that people thought, here's a potential group of people that I know that could be, whatever. Affleck was on none of them, which goes to show you what people on the internet know. But I guess they were never like, who do they think is going to be cast? It was like, who do I think would be the best one? But it made me start thinking about like, who would be the best and who would be the worst and who would be some weird castings? Like we mentioned Andy Dick earlier, but I made a list of, I needed to narrow a list down. I'm going to ask you some, you have to choose who would be a better Batman between these two people. And the game is called, is it Al or is it John?
Okay.
So it's going to be the first name of somebody named Al and the first name of somebody named John.
Okay.
Al or John? Who's a better Batman, Al or John? Number one, who would be a better Batman, Mitch? Al Pacino or John Wayne? And tell me why.
Oh, I would go with John Wayne.
Why?
I think the whole... he's got the whole tough guy. I think he would look... Well, first of all, I think he's got the chin to look good under the cowl. which I think is important.
Okay.
Like, it's an important part of it. I think he's just gruff. He's got the attitude.
Okay.
I mean, Al Pacino, I don't think it would be a good bat.
I just think, I thought I'd pick Al Pacino, that Al, because they're two actors, but I thought Al Pacino's regular voice sounds like Christian Bale's Batman voice. So I thought it'd just perfect. People are already used to it, you know.
Okay.
Plus, Al Pacino's not like physically built at all, so I thought that'd be kind of funny. I'm just kind of a ragged Batman.
Neither was Michael Keaton, though.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, and he's short too. Okay, so that was the actor one. That was the easy one.
Okay.
Next one. Politics. John, or sorry. Al Gore or John McCain?
I think for the same reasons of John Wayne, I would say John McCain.
Because they're both maverick?
Yeah. Just a couple of mavericks. We're just a bunch of mavericks up here.
But imagine what Al Gore could do. How much he could save as Batman. He's all about saving people.
Hear the whale crying, and like fly away.
Okay, moving on. Music, Al Green, Let's Stay Together, or John Mayer?
Al Green.
Okay, because he's black.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see a black.
It'd be nice too. I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Biblical.
Okay.
Reverend Al Sharpton or John the Baptist?
Wait, what did John the Baptist do besides baptize Jesus?
I don't know. That's his thing, man.
Oh, he got his head chopped off.
That's right? Cool. I don't know, man. It's been a while since I've read the Bible.
Yeah. Ever?
Yeah. I read it in college just so I could... say I did, and I wish I didn't, but it's hard because they're two totally different things.
Yeah, they're two totally. I don't know what John the Baptist looks like.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, in my head.
Well, he's in the Bible, so he's white.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Yep, he's got blonde hair, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tall and skinny.
Shaped chest. Yeah. Shaped chest.
Shaped
chest. Abs. He's got abs.
Yep. He looks very serious.
Yeah.
And yeah. And he hates gay people.
Yeah. He got some sweet Nikes on.
I would go with Al Sharpton because I would love to see. I would love to see Batman solve crimes by to stop bad guys by like delivering a sermon that rhymes. You know, I would love my Batman to be a little more rhythmic and funky. But all right, the last one's kind of interesting because I don't know. Okay, I don't know what the genre of this would be. Last one. Al Roker.
Okay.
Or John Grisham.
Al Roker.
Okay.
So could I imagine him pooping himself in the middle of like flying, like shooting it up, like pulling itself off, like, oh, little poop. And then like just keeps going.
He'd deliver the weather to people as he's saving them. Beautiful. Yep. Very resourceful Batman. Not one of my best games, but that is the end of Batman, like Al or John.
I'm gonna say though, my Batman would be Crispin Glover. That's who I want to be, Batman.
Really?
Imagine that Crispin Glover Batman. It would be insane.
Jesus Christ!
It would be insane.
All right.
Hey, stop right there, and give me back that battery.
I can't save her. My favorite show is on tonight: Mystery Science Theater. Not you. Changed my mind. Yeah, Crispin Glover. Why Crispin? Yeah. Really, Crispin Glover?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I
think it would be
cool. If Crispin Glover was Batman, it would be awesome, though.
Maybe.
I remember before they announced Ben Affleck, there was like a list going around of people, and my person, my short list, my number one on my short list was Josh Brolin.
Oh, Josh Brolin
Batman would have been awesome.
I was thinking something. I had not come up with an actual name. I spent my time thinking of fucking Al Roker for you, but I was thinking the same thing because I like the idea of Batman being the Dark Knight, the older, grizzled. Yeah. But yet more the which forces him to be smarter Batman. You know what I mean? But I agree. That good pick. What other picks did you hear?
I can't remember now.
No.
Off the top of my head I don't remember. I would have to look.
You know, if he did get Crispin Glover, I think Tom Wilson would have to be the bad guy. Can't believe I stole a Batmobile and had a blind spot. Could have been killed.
You know, he doesn't like talking about being in Back to the Future.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Wilson's, he's freaking hilarious. But, he won't even sign Back to the Future Apparel anymore. And I get that because he's a stand-up comic and he wants to be Tom Wilson, not Biff.
Yeah.
It's just too bad.
But he hasn't like really done anything else.
Yeah. I've seen him, like, you'll be watching a movie and then it'll be like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but all of a sudden it'll be a room full of men, like it'll be like Apollo 13 or something, and he'll be scientist number 4. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he'll have like 5 lines of dialogue that are really important, but and they need to be delivered by someone who knows what they're doing, but all of a sudden. But you always do that. That's Biff, which is a terrible thing to do. But he was actually the dad in Zack Stone. Is going to be famous. That Bo Burnham show that got canceled.
Oh, was it?
He played Zack's dad, and I thought it was fucking brilliant. He was really did a good job. Partially because him and Bo had a. You got the feeling of the relationship between a father and his. Eccentric teenage son who he doesn't agree with.
Okay.
But anyway. Yeah, Tom Wilson. But have you watched any stand-up specials? Or were you going to say something?
I saw The World's End.
You did see that? And?
I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. In the trilogy, you know how they call it the Cornetto trilogy or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Blood and Ice Cream trilogy. If I was to rate, if I was to put it in between, you know, those Shaun of the Dead, films,
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz and
this
and
one.
The World's End.
Yep.
I think it's better than Hot Fuzz, but not as good as Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Well,
that's promising. Yeah. I still really like. It takes a lot to top Shaun of the Dead, but Hot Fuzz I thought was pretty good too.
Yeah, and then I'm not saying that Hot Fuzz is bad,
right?
Either. I just think the story of The World's End has a little bit more story to it. There's a little bit more, like, you know, thought out stuff, and you can relate to it and whatnot. Yeah. Same thing as Shaun of the Dead. You know when Shaun has to shoot his mom. You know, that's right. It's a hard scene to watch.
Right.
And this has like kind of similar stuff to it. And not as good as that, but
right.
You know, the characters are interesting. Whereas Hot Fuzz I didn't think really had that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I liked it. It's fun. Yeah.
Good.
It's good.
It
good action. Really, really, really good action. Which makes me really excited because Edgar Wright's doing Ant-Man.
I saw that.
And I think that gets my hopes up for Ant-Man.
Right. You know, it's funny because this summer has been full of big action, big budget box office flops.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see a comedy of all... it's a comedy, obviously. A comedy of all things is... I mean, it's not going to make the money that, like, Superman will.
No. It opened at $9 million. In America.
Right, but do you judge a movie's quality? I mean, usually when you look at a movie, you don't look at, like, you know, how much money it makes, because that a lot of that comes into, like, how many theaters it opened and stuff, but, like, you go on...
Well, I mean, you look at that more for them making it the next movie.
Right.
Is kind of the, you know, their next thing that they're making that'll influence what, you know, what they can do with that.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at the... Like, I like the Internet Movie Database reviews because they do that star system. I know it's very open-ended and vague, but they get tens of hundreds of thousands of people who vote on these movies. And usually that, to me, is a better indicator of what the general people think of this movie in comparison to other movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even, like, they have, like, Metacritic. That's only done by, like, movie reviewers and not, like, general public population and... I don't know. Sometimes I just take a little bit more stock in what the common man thinks of a movie other than critics.
But sometimes, like, what the common man... Like, I hate to say it, but what the common man thinks, though, is sometimes not so good. You know, like, if you look at like, Rotten Tomatoes does... They do critic reviews, like, just critics.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do, like, general. Like, people can vote,
right,
essentially. And some of those are just, like, you know, like... Like, Transformers 3, for instance, was, you know, panned by critics on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, 80% with you know, regular people. And that movie's terrible.
Right.
Like, it's awful. It's an awful movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, sometimes it's better to trust the critics.
Maybe that's a...
Sometimes. Not all the times, though.
Maybe that brings up a good point, because, like, I... have no yearning to see Transformers after I saw Transformers 1. I didn't see 2 or 3. Didn't care to. So I didn't even look at what they would rate Transformers 3. You know what I mean? I would have... You know what I mean?
If you already kind of had it in your mind that you were thinking it's bad anyways, you wouldn't look at the...
Right. So the people are going to watch Transformers 3 are the people who like Transformers 1.
Okay.
So... Yeah,
okay.
It's very scientific. I think. Yeah. Have you did you get a chance? Oh, I guess you know. Let's stay on the. This is interesting because they did pick a new Doctor Who. I kind of want to stick with, since we're talking about the entertainment stuff.
Yes.
Peter Capaldi.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about Peter Capaldi?
A little bit. He did a British show called In the Loop.
Okay.
He's
done a lot of TV shows, it looks like.
Yeah, he's done a lot, but that's, like, kind of the big one
okay.
that he's done lately. I think it's about, like, British Parliament.
Okay.
I think. I haven't watched it. Only thing I know about him in that show is he swears a lot. Because they're hoping that the first thing he would do as he regenerates that to the new doctor is that he starts swearing right away.
Nice. What I read today was that he's going to keep his Scottish accent for the doctor. The doctor will be Scottish.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
This is what's interesting. Yeah, like we just come off Matt Smith, who's 27, the youngest doctor we've ever had. This guy, he's 55 and will be, though he doesn't look it, will be the oldest doctor. 55.
Really?
The oldest doctor to start. I know, like we look at the episode one of the first doctor, he looks like he's
super old.
He looks like he's super old. His last name was Hartwell. He was 55.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But everyone looks different. That's what I found on a website. As I said, he was 55 in the first episode. This guy will be almost 56 when he starts. He looks pretty young. Looks like he's in good shape. But he will be the oldest doctor that has been had.
I think that's a time of our, you know, that's a product of our time, though, now. Because where was I just reading when the last Mission Impossible came out? You know, you had Tom Cruise, super buff, looking really good, running around. When that movie came out, he was the same age as Wilford Brimley when Cocoon came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's nice. Like, you know, it's I think just now it's like with modern medicine now and you know, new, like, people are more health conscious now. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people look a lot younger than they used to.
I don't think Wilford Brimley was checking his diabetes. He wasn't checking it often.
He was going to American Mutual, and you know, they just send it right to your house.
Right to your house. Check your diabetes. Check it often. I love how assertive he is.
Have you ever heard the diabetes rap?
No. Oh my God!
Someone takes his little that commercial and makes it into like a. They remix it, essentially. Right. They add a bunch of music to it. Nice. It's pretty funny.
Nice. I do like that recent phenomenon. They get old, but when they take a sound bite of something ridiculous like that and put it to music, the diabetes rap. Oh, my God. I love that he's sitting on a horse in the desert talking about fucking diabetes. Okay, you know. Nice. Juxtaposition.
I was talking to this. Okay, I don't know how true this is, but I was talking to this older guy one day, and we started talking about language stuff, and we started talking about diabetes, and he's like, and he told me, and this guy, he's like in his 70s or something like that, and he told me that diabetes is actually the correct way to say it, but when they were kids, they called it diabetes as like a way to make fun of it.
Oh, really?
And that's like, and then it just became... It became the way that everybody says it, but diabetes is actually the correct way to say it.
Oh,
yeah.
Point one for Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, I know. Works. So he's saying it right away because he's just old.
Yeah, well, and he's sitting on a horse. People who talk shit on a horse are usually right.
Yeah.
So that proof in the pudding, sir. We have a couple minutes left. Anything you also want to talk about? I have one more thing, but...
Go for it.
Okay. I watched the Harlan Williams. You know who Harlan Williams is?
Oh, yeah.
No, I figured you would. Down Periscope, yeah. Dumb and Dumber, Rocket Man, Pat Bake, whatever. He did a comedy special called Forces of Nature. And here's the setup. He filmed it in the Mojave, in the middle of the Mojave Desert, with no audience. Multiple cameras.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard about this.
Okay.
Keep going.
No audience. And the first thing he says is, and he's doing his weird Harlan Williams, you know, his characters and his voices and stuff. He says, "You don't need an audience to tell you when to laugh. The camera's cutting to people laughing. I think that you know what's funny, and you will laugh when you think something's funny." And he openly says it in a semi-serious, like, "I'm doing it this way because this is what I believe." And then he goes right into his thing. it reminded me a little bit of the Maria Bamford Christmas special from her sure. couch, kind of the same thing. But what I found interesting was like he obviously had to do like performing for the special. Like you still have to perform it and test your material before you film a special. Mm-hmm. So like he'll say a joke and he'll do a gag or a voice or something, and he'll still pause and look at the and look at the camera like, you know, mouth open doing his weird Harlan Williams thing. Basically pausing for your laughter. So if you, what happens is like sometimes when I sit by myself at home and I'm watching, I don't laugh out loud a lot at the TV. I sometimes like laugh or giggle, but I don't necessarily laugh out loud in the basement by myself. Mm-hmm. But it felt like he was bombing in my basement. You know?
Was it not good?
No. It just, it was pretty good. It was weird at moments. Like, and that's just okay. part of his thing, though, is
yeah.
he stops doing jokes and then starts doing voices and impersonations. And he had a couple recycled jokes from his last special, which are okay. Like, he does that really funny crow impression. You ever hear him do the exact, like, he talks about Bert, like, his last special, years ago, he did a special. And this is the joke that keeps getting shown over and over again, is that birds like make beautiful noises, whatever. But then there's something wrong with the crow, because the crow goes, ah, and just like it's screaming. But Harlan has this amazing face and voice for it, and it's hilarious. And while he's doing a special here, a crow flies over his head and he does the crow voice again. It's kind of funny. But
okay.
And he treats the crow like it's his heckler, because there's nobody out there except a turtle. But I applaud the risk, though. It's like, I kind of like that. I like that idea. It's really high energy. It's fun, but it was, I don't know. I don't know. I feel myself, the more I'm watching stand-up comedy, I'm leaning towards jokes that make you think as opposed to slapsticky impersonations sometimes. Your thoughts? Okay.
Yeah.
I like Harlan Williams kind of jokes are like kind of right in my wheelhouse, my alley. Yeah, well, it's like, I don't know why. Maybe I don't know as many jokes about Harlan Williams, but I still remember watching a special of his. And I must have been like high school or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there was like, I just remember like, so like he would start doing like a lot of crowd stuff. And so, like, he told somebody he was gonna go rent a copy of Aladdin and beat them over the head with it. and I'm just like, I don't know, it's just stuff like that. Like, I like, you know, but I'm like a big Mitch Hedberg fan
too. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, I like plays on words a lot, mm-hmm. and I think he does that too.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but I thought I remember that about him. But I like stuff like that.
What was weird about this was, like, you lose an element of that. He doesn't have audience to play off of. He can't say, I'm going to beat you over the head with the Aladdin video cassette, you know, crow. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But what he does do is then takes things like, I'm in nature. We're in nature right now. Oh, nature. And gets down and starts kissing the ground and then having sex with the ground. I'm having sex with nature. But he'll do it for like a minute and just it'll just keep going and going, and then like the turtle will crawl by him and he'll make eyes with the turtle, but I think it sounds funnier when you say it, and when you're watching it you're like, all right, man, we get the joke, you're having sex with the ground, let's finish this up. But then he goes into orgasm face with the ground. It's like, oh my god, Jesus Christ. All right. But it
takes him a minute. It takes him a minute to get there. You know, he's gotta finish it up. It's not instantaneous.
Yeah,
he's not a teenager anymore.
He looks really good, though. I'm guessing he's pushing 45, 50, and just looks it's sharp and, you know, quick. But I think it's a. I'd recommend people watching it just for the fact that it's original and different and a risk.
Where did you watch it?
Netflix. It's called Forces of Nature. It's a little longer. It's closer to 90 minutes, I think, but anyway, I had one to finish with that one. So you got anything else you want to
No, I think I'm good, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
All right.
Later, dum-dums.
Word, honkies.
Bye.
All right. Personally, stop. Night of the living dum-dums.